Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dead, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Church Congregation of the 12th Hour and the Elgin, Texas. Today is June 10, 2023, or this is June 22, 2027. We will start our first service today.
Judgment and the Harvest. The title of the sermon is When the 2300 Days Begin and End. We're on page 24 of the tract. We're going to start the service with a song, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll get into our sermon. Okay, when the 2300 days begin and end, it says from the Daniel 7, it was seen that the throne of the judgment or of the cleansing was not to be set up until sometime after the little horn tower came into the existence. While from Hebrews 9:24-27, it was seen to be set up some time before the end of the world. Well, the thing is, the little horn tower was set up in 538 A.D. That represented the Catholic Church. And it had a 1260-year prophecy, the little horn tower. And he spoke great blasphemous things. He was a church and state rule. Now, to throw into the full focus the light on the facts already brought forth, we must go to Daniel 8 and 11 for the express prophecy of the subject of the 2300 days. Anytime you see a hyphen, a slant between words, it means that it represents a proper prepositional phrase goes in there. So if you want to put the words itself, then it says to express the prophecy of the subject of is a preposition, the is the article of the 2300 days. And it should say of the 2300 days prophecy. Okay, so Daniel 8:11-12. Yea, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host. Now who's the prince of the host? Yahshua. He's the prince of the host. Who is the host? That's the people that are present tense, Yahshua's followers. That's the true host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. Okay, now Daniel, he says, the daily sacrifice was taken away by this this little horn tower that represented the papacy, the Catholic Church, 538 AD. It says, and by him, the little horn tower, the daily sacrifice was taken away. If the daily sacrifice was taken away in 538 AD by the Catholic Church, then it shows that the sacrificial system never did come to an end at the cross. It's just changed from the animal sacrifice to the sacrifice of Yahshua. So, this man of sin, a little horn tower, took away the daily sacrifice of the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary as the high priest. Okay? Because when Yahshua operates as the high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, every day of the year he operates as a priest in the first apartment, making remission for sins by the sprinkling of blood. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 24. So, the Catholic Church took away that data. They said, no, we're going to set up the counterfeit system of worship, and we're going to establish these Catholic relics, these idols, and we're going to have a daily service to take the place of those daily sacrifice services, where Yahshua is represented as a sacrifice on a daily basis, twice a day. And the place of his sanctuary was touched down. Where was the place of his sanctuary? Yahshua had ascended into heaven, and he's working as a high priest in heaven. That was the place of his sanctuary. But when the Catholic Church counterfeited it, he stood up and said, Jerusalem was the original place where this is all set up. When Yahshua was here on earth, but he's gone to heaven, so the sanctuary system is in heaven, and he's operating the daily there in heaven on a daily basis. So the Catholic Church says, well, no, we're taking the place of all of that here on earth. So that's how they test the daily to the ground from heaven, by counterfeiting it here on earth and enforcing the dogmas that nobody can worship. The true system of worship of faith, unless they were to be killed during the Dark Ages, from 538 to 1798. Okay, and a host was given him against the daily, the sacrifice, by the reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So the Catholic Church trampled the sanctuary system underfoot, but Yahshua was operating in the heavenly sanctuary on a daily basis. They took it over here on earth and they trampled it underfoot and enforced their dogmas in the place of that heavenly sanctuary service that the saints were following. So they made a decree, the Catholic Church made a decree during the Dark Ages, that those that didn't worship the image and his beast, which they represented, they should be killed. And sure enough, over 200 million saints were killed and burned at the stake, or hunted down and killed one way or another over the next 1260 years. Over 200 million. So it says, now in Daniel 11:31, it says, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate, and what is that? Matthew 24 says, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate stand in the holy place, then flee into the mountains. And the Booth Theology published all this. And Daniel had it right. He had it all right. But then VTL gives his interpretation on it. And he changes the interpretation of Daniel. But yet, this is a stepping stone. This is a stepping stone from the Seventh-day Adventist to the everlasting kingdom of David, which is Gilead Center. The stepping stone was Mount Carmel. And P.T. Olive had the latter rain of truth in him. It was his place to publish, to continue on publishing from the prophets and unfold clear light on what the prophets had to say. Not change. But because P.T. Olive didn't have inspiration to do it, he put his own interpretation on how he, what he thought the day was. I'll go ahead and read it. So now it says, from this juxtaposition of Daniel 8:11-12 and Daniel 11:31, the reader will observe that both scriptures are speaking of the same power, and Yahshua predicting the signs of the end of the world, as he looked forward along the stream of time, declared, when you, his followers, who were to be living at the time that this horn power was at work against the Yahweh, his truth, and his people, therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by the Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16. These clear words of the Yahshua himself placed the work of this power in the future from his time. Here the Yahshua plainly states that at his time that the abomination of the desolation had not yet stood up in the holy place, verily that sometime in the apostolic, Christian dispensation. Now, the Christian dispensation was from the time that the converts to the apostolic church in the first century apostatized, and the Greeks called them and named them Christians of Antioch. They were first called Christians, meaning followers of Christ. And not Yahshua or the Messiah, but they were the followers of the Christ, so they put the I-A-N, the suffix, on the word Christ, and said, these followers of Christ were called Christians, meaning coming out of the period of Christ. Not coming out of the apostolic period, they're coming out of the period of Christ. Okay, here Yahshua plainly states that at his time, 2,000 years ago, the abomination of the desolation has not yet stood up in the holy place, but that sometime in, and I'm going to put antithetical apostolic dispensation,
Pete Holler says Christian dispensation. The Catholics call themselves Christian when they accepted the religion of the prophet, of the saints in the first century, when pagan Rome accepted their teachings and watered it down. Then the Catholics said, well, we'll take your title that you've got at Antioch. We'll take the title Christian also, and we'll all be called Christian. Catholics and people at Antioch and all of those that apostatized from the Apostolic Church of the Nazarene Creed, all of those that apostatized from that and joined pagan Rome and their watered-down doctrine of the church, we'll all be called Christians. And we'll be called Christians until the end of time. So from Antioch, that's all we've known, is that everybody, no matter what religion they are, no matter, no Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, it made no difference. They were all called Christians. And the Adventists said, well, we'll call ourselves Christians too. I know Sister White says we're the spiritual Israelites of the day, but we don't like that. We'll just call ourselves Christians too. And the Catholic says, oh good, now I've got it. All the churches calling themselves Christians. And I'm the number one Christian leader of all of them. With the Trinity doctrine, three in one person of the Godhead. We all got one thing in common, one pure doctrine, false doctrine. That is one doctrine, we all agree on that. We all agree on the name, Christian. That's all we need. Sometime in the Antipal Apostolic Dispensation, that's the ones that have been converted to the truth, it would be seen to stand there still further the angel instructed Daniel that at the time of the end shall be the vision. Daniel 8:13-17. These two facts daily facts carry the sweeping proof that the 2300 day period could not terminate until following the Yahshua's time, the daily be cast out and the abomination set up for both of these events were to take place within the 2300 days. Okay, so the 2300 days started in 457 B.C. with Cyrus' decree that came and delivered the children of Judah out of the Babylonian captivity in 457 B.C. The 2300 days began then and they ended in 1844. So all the laws of the sanctuary operated all the way from 457 B.C. in the Old Testament to the 1844 A.D. And not only that, but they were perfected after 1844, and that's what purified the church for this everlasting covenant that Yahweh made with the blood offering that he told Moses to invoke whenever he dedicated the sanctuary for the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. He says, the everlasting covenant, invoke it with the blood of the sprinkling, and it will be forever. All the laws that this constitutes will be intact to the end of time. So that's your daily sacrifice. It started with Moses and the children of Israel, and it's ongoing today by law. This desolating power was according unto the Daniel for the polluting by the transgression of the earthly sanctuary or the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This was to be accomplished by the casting down of the truth to the ground, by the taking away of the daily, which is at the third hour of the day, which is our time, we call it the ninth hour of the morning, and the third hour of the afternoon, which would be the ninth hour of the evening,
and by bringing into the holy place the abomination that maketh desolate, all of which was to be said the angel unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. It says, for this desolating power was, according unto Daniel, to pollute by the transgression of the earthly sanctuary or the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This was to be accomplished by the casting down of the sanctuary truth. Psalm 77:13, Thy way, O Yahweh, Yahshua is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a Yahshua as our Yahshua? By the taking away of the daily, and by the bringing into the holy place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, I have this a printout here on the word sacrifice. For the word sacrifice, in the connection with the word daily, it manifestly belongs unto the text. Since, however, the English language does not have an exact equivalent of the Hebrew word daily, which is variously rendered continual, perpetual, everlasting, and since these terms are synonymous, so as to arrive at the exact truth. Okay. Now, this is another mistake. The word daily, it's not rendered with those words, continual, perpetual, everlasting. Those are not synonymous terms for the word daily. Because I said they were, but they're not. The word daily is a hard noun, compound noun. I know it's a hard noun. And it's supposed to have a preposition of a prepositional phrase in front of it. Because it don't, then details say it is variously rendered as continual, perpetual, everlasting. I'm going to make a correction right here and now. For the word continual, perpetual, everlasting are synonymous terms with the word eternal, not the daily. So you see where when a man doesn't understand how to apply the English words, there's a true meaning. When he makes up and says continual, perpetual, and everlasting are synonymous terms with the daily, then he throws everything off track. But if he says continual, perpetual, everlasting is a synonymous term with the word eternal, never ending, then you explain, and then you describe the daily as being something that is eternal, never ending, once it was set up. Okay? So it says, and since these terms are synonymous, or since these terms are not synonymous, so as to arrive at the exact truth, in the view therefore of this fact, the doctrine in the Christian era, that Christian era started in 538, I know it started with those apostolics that apostatized at Antioch. It started in the first century. So the fact that the doctrine in the Christian era designated as the daily pertaining unto the worship as well as continual. Now, it only pertains to the eternal worship of the daily sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was the daily sacrifice of the animal that was governed by the law of the daily. At the third hour and the ninth hour of the day, that was the time appointed for enforcing of the law of the daily. It was at the third and the ninth hour. It is hence evident that all these various renderings can apply to no other doctrine than the Sabbath. This is all false. None of those renderings apply to the doctrine of the Sabbath. The eternal rest of and in the divine certification of its perpetuity rang on through the centuries from the Sinai of the immutable words. Okay. So I'm going to correct that. I'm going to reread that now, and I'm going to correct it. It is hence evident that all these various renderings of the continual, perpetual, everlasting can apply only to the daily of the law of Moses that set up for the daily offering at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day, each day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Not the doctrine of the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day comes once a week, every 7 days. But the daily comes twice a day, every day of the week. Two separate entities altogether. And the daily is not called the Sabbath anywhere. The seventh day is called the Sabbath. But the daily is called the sacrificial service at the third and the ninth hour. Two separate operations altogether. If each hour put them together mean the same thing. And in the divine certification of the perpetuity rang on through the centuries from Sinai to the immutable words. In Exodus 29:36-43, Moses says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering, for a daily atonement." The word daily should go in there, for a daily atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it 7 days. Thou shalt make an atonement for the altar. See there? That's an atonement every day. And sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. Now there's where your word continually applies. It applies to the offering of the lamb. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, that's by the law of the covenant, third hour of the day. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even at the ninth hour of the day. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of the beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of the wine for a drink offering. Now that wine represents the blood. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according unto the meat offering of the morning, and according unto the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by the fire unto the Yahweh. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Yahweh, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. For the horns taken away, that David. Now there's another thing. Oh yeah, for the little horn power that came up in 538 AD to represent the Catholic Church, taking away the daily. In other words, trampling the sanctuary of truth to the ground, was therefore nothing other than his taking away from the antitypical apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed, which Yeshua was a Nazarene. The Yahweh's Sabbath, Seventh-day Sabbath. This is all a false statement, and putting in its place Sunday worship, a pagan Sabbath. Okay, so it says, abomination that maketh desolate, a desecration which grieved away the Yahweh's presence from the congregation. So in essence, Pete Yahweh is saying that the Catholic Church, doing away with the seventh-day Sabbath, put the Sunday in the place of it. He called that the abomination. Matthew 24:15-16 don't give that same interpretation. And so Pete Yahweh is very wrong on all of that. That's the reason why he never restored the daily or the feast days, because Yahweh didn't give him light on the correct time for restoring the feast days or the daily, and so therefore he should have left that subject alone. If he could not interpret it right, then he would have been better off to left it alone. So he tried to interpret it, and he put his own interpretation on it, and that just shows you what Ezekiel chapter 4 says, when the man that had been called to interpret the scriptures, whenever he only got half inspiration and half of his own interpretation, he mixed them both together, and he's always come with a mess of pottage that won't fit. Okay. Let us continue now reading from Judgment and Harvest, tract number 3. It says, page 26, from the weighty evidences here amassed, there is manifestly but one conclusion possible for the polluting of the holy place, the termination of the 2300 days, and the cleansing of the sanctuary could not have taken place before the Yahshua's time. Facing the resounding finality of this threefold conclusion, the numerous voices which insistently localize within the Old Testament period as the period bound up with the 2300 days ought now to silence themselves completely and forever. But if they do not, then the Yahweh only knows what they may next go from. You cannot afford, brethren, now that the light is come, to let slip from you the opportunity of the breaking away from the theories of men, herein discredited by the spirit of the truth, and of the placing your feet firmly on the solid foundation here established in their place by the testimony of the Yeshua. Now, did you see what Vichy Heldon said? He says, you cannot afford brethren now that the light has come. So let's slip from you the opportunity of the breaking away from the theories of men of the Seventh-day Adventist Church General Conference ministers, herein discredited by the Spirit of the Truth, and of the placing your feet firmly on a solid foundation here established in the Shepherd Rod by the V.T. Hollis, in their place by the testimony of the Yeshua. Upon this solid rock, the structure of the truth now in the building will, as the reader can already see, withstand the most severe storm of both the wind and rain. So let us, in the proceeding to erect a superstructure liberally, the superstructure liberally utilized without the slightest fear of a coming storm, which will demolish and sweep away everything standing on a sandy foundation, the material is so freely given. Upon the solid rock to cleanse the earthly sanctuary, the abomination which the wicked power here under the discussion brought in must necessarily be cast out, and in the truth also the data which the same power trod down and cast out must be restored. Very obviously, therefore, there is not a significant room for doubt as to either the way in which the sanctuary was polluted or the way in which it must be cleansed. For the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel contains a vivid prophetic symbolism of the two beasts, a ram and a he-goat, concerning which the angel explained, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of the Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, Daniel 8:20-21. The he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, a great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, that's the land of Israel, Daniel 8:8-9. For the great horn that is between his eyes, explained the angel, is the first king, Alexander, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Four kings shall stand up out of the nation of Alexander, Grecia, not in Alexander's power, that is, not in his posterity, Daniel 8:21-22, 11-4. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors, the Jews, are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark senses shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, for arms shall stand on his part, Daniel 11:31. For the armies of the civil powers, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, Daniel 8:23-24. Obviously then, Daniel 8:22-24 is parallel with Daniel 7:25. and he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. It says that Daniel had the vision in Babylon, northeast of the pleasant land, Israel, which was called Palestine at the time. From Babylon, the exceeding great horn went first south, that is toward Egypt, next east, then north, in order to make the turn westward toward the pleasant land. Thus it went in all four directions, denoting that it became a world power, and that was the image beast, Daniel's fourth beast that he saw in vision, representing imperial Rome, pagan Rome, at the cross, and before the cross, the fourth kingdom of the Old Testament, which carried over into the New Testament and carried on to the end of time. Moreover, also the brass of the great image of the Daniel 2, which Daniel explains is to bear rule over all the earth, represents Grecia. However, has neither the ghost's first horn nor his subsequent four horns for universal rule, then for the fulfilling of the prophecy of the brass kingdom. His exceeding great horn must be the one to bear rule over all the earth, Daniel 2:39. And that great horn represents pagan Rome, the fourth beast of Daniel, imperial Rome. And we know that Rome ruled over all the earth during the Dark Ages, 1260 years. Okay, subsequent, his exceeding great horn must be the one to bear rule over all the earth, Daniel 2:39. Though the fourth beast of Daniel 7 shows that this desolating power is descended from Rome, the symbolism of the great of the goat goes further back to show that this world power originally descended from one of the Grecian divisions, Daniel 11:5, and later put on the garb of the Christianity, that was just your pagan Rome, imperial Rome, the religion of a God whom his fathers knew not. So the Catholic Church, pagan Rome, didn't believe in any religion when they were by themselves. But when they accepted the apostolic religion and watered it down and took them captive, pagan Rome, then they believed in a God of the apostles that their forefathers of the pagan Rome did not know, because they didn't believe and search any religion. They didn't believe in any religion. Daniel 11:38. Gradually assuming the ornaments of the sanctuary, he before long magnified himself against the prince, Yahshua, of the host, the antitypical apostolics, the apostles of the Nazarene Creed, that was the host back then, and disregarding the Yahweh of his fathers, he ostensibly became Christianized, but at what cost to Christianity? Not only was the daily taken away, but also the place of his sanctuary was cast down. All right. So the place of Yahshua's sanctuary in heaven was cast down from heaven. Now the Catholic Church here cast down to the earth. Yahshua didn't cast it down to earth. He kept it in heaven. But the Catholic Church taking over this world, they falsified the heavenly sanctuary system of Yahshua in heaven,
and they put the priest, the Pope, in the place of Yahshua here on earth. That's how he trampled the truth to the ground from heaven. Cast it down. In other words, he cast down the Yahshua's place. That was the place there in the heavenly sanctuary. And there set up his own, elevate himself unto the Yahshua's place. That's the Pope. Okay. For the word sacrifice being supplied. Now this is another, some more wrong statement. And I'm going to correct it now, and I'm going to correct it the way it should be written. For the word sacrifice being supplies in the connection with the word daily, it manifestly belongs to the text. Since, however, the English language does not have an exact equivalent of the Hebrew word daily, which is variously rendered continual, perpetual, everlasting. Okay, and since none of these terms are synonymous but carry individual connotation, it is consequently imperative to take them all together as a compound word. Okay, so you take those three words, continual, perpetual, and everlasting, you make them a compound word. Well, they are an, when you say compound word, you should say compound noun. Because each word by itself is a noun. Okay, it says, as to arrive at the exact truth, and the view, therefore, of this fact, also the fact that the Seventh-day Sabbath doctrine is a weekly Seventh-day doctrine, Sabbath. It is not the same as your daily doctrine. Vitellus says it is, but I say it's not. For the law of Moses says it's not. Bible doctrine in the apostolic era that cannot possibly be designated as the daily. Okay. Pertain unto the language and respect unto a day as well as continual, perpetual, and everlasting. From the time immemorial, the time eternal. There's that word eternal. See, the word eternal takes the place of those synonymous terms. It is hence evident that all these various renderings can apply only the doctrine of the daily that is eternal, and not the seventh-day Sabbath rest day that is also eternal. And in the divine certification of its perpetuity, ring on through the centuries from the Sinai, the immutable word. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep this Sabbath, to observe this Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in the 6 days Yahshua made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Exodus 31:16-17. The seventh-day Sabbath is a perpetual covenant, whereas the daily, as far as I understand, I have not seen any scriptures in the Bible that says the daily is a perpetual covenant that is performed throughout eternity. Once the kingdom of David is set up in these last days and the people are sanctified, the final sanctification at the end of typical Pentecost, then they're gonna meet from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another to worship the Yahweh. And no doubt when they do meet in these holy days, they're gonna be worshiping at the third hour and the ninth hour, which is your daily. But they're just gonna be worshiping in the spirit and in the truth of true worship.
they're not going to be offering no kind of burnt sacrifices for sin during this time. It's going to be done, but it's going to be done, and Yahshua says he's going to make a new covenant with the house of David. He's going to put this new law in their hearts. That's in Hebrews chapter 7 and 8. And right upon their hearts. It's going to be done in the spirit and in the truth. It says, for the horns taking away the dirty was therefore nothing other than his taking away from the apostolic congregation the Yahshua Sabbath and putting in its place Sunday worship. This is wrong. For the horns taken away the daily was therefore not just taken away from the apostolic congregation Yahshua Sabbath and put in its place Sunday worship, a pagan Sabbath. Abomination that maketh desolate, a desecration which breathed away Yahweh's presence from the church. Okay. But anyway, it says, for the ram and the goat was shown unto Daniel in the vision in the third year of the reign of the king Belshazzar, Daniel 8:1. Daniel was astonished at the vision, but none understood, Daniel 8:27. For the time, moreover, had elapsed, and Jerusalem was still a waste. So later in the first year of the Darius, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, Daniel 9:1, Daniel was shown by the books the number of the years whereof the word of Yahshua came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem, Daniel 9:2. Jerusalem, however, was still a desolation, though the time of the people's captivity according to the prophecy was fulfilled, and the vision was still not understood, as is clearly seen from the Daniel's prayer, I set my face unto the Yahshua, to seek by the prayer and supplication, with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Yahshua, my Savior, O Yahshua, according unto all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach unto all that are about it. Now therefore, O our Yahweh the Father, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is destined for the Yahshua's sake. For this prayer stands for today. This sanctuary that was made destined then is still destined today. Brother Johnson had the time, had a chance to make it perfect. He had 33.5 years. With the ordained system of true worship, with the creation channel, and true worship in every form, shape, and fashion. And yet he polluted the sanctuary and apostatized and brought it down to nothing. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning in the 8th chapter, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, so it was at 9 o'clock, 9th hour of the day, and said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment for the restoring and for the building of the restoring and building of the Jerusalem unto the Messiah, or Yahshua the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. For the street shall be built again, and the wall even in the troublous time, and after 62 weeks shall the Yahshua be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the weeks he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desert. Daniel 9:3-27. Okay. Well, when we get to where we can understand and interpret Daniel 9:24-27, which Yahweh has given me to do already, that's gonna be a whole book. Okay. It says, I don't know how big it's going to be, but it's going to be a big article. For the angel apportioned the 70 weeks into three periods, 7 weeks and 62 weeks and 1 week. And though in his words to Daniel quoted above, he explains the time prophesied, yet Daniel still did not fully understand the vision. And he did certainly, however, understand the angel's interpretation of the ram and of the goat to be symbolical of the Persia and Grecia, respectively, for the work of the exceeding great horn was therefore what he did not understand. And so it was that later in those days he was again mourning, this time 3 full weeks, whereupon he said, I saw a certain man clothed in the linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Ephod. Then said he unto me, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. And that's where we're at. His people, Yahweh's saints, in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. For at the time of the end, and the 12th parabolic hour is your time for the end. That's starting 2002, Kermit, Texas, at the Passover. 12th parabolic hour, time of the end, the harvest, the judgment of the living. It all started, and the seventh seal was opened up, Revelation 8:1. It shall be the vision of Daniel 10:5-12-14-8-7. And this is the only time now that the vision of Daniel that we just read about can be understood and interpreted by the prophet of the 12th hour. And he's the only one that can interpret Daniel's vision when it's open at the time of the end. And so this is where we're at. I'm editing this track number 3 of Judgment and the Harvest of Ethiopia. And I will be adding all of these things that I just talked about here, that needs to be interpreted of Daniel's vision, of Daniel, what I just said about, 10:5-12-14-8-17, and I'll be interpreting all of that, bringing it up to date. And so it's a whole new world out there, folks. This brings the end of our study. This hour contest at the 11th hour. Call us number. Let me click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Yahshua is near.
Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Just when he's near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Joshua is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burden, pleasures of you. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most, just when I need him, Yahshua is strong. Maybe my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Just when I need him, he is my home, answering when upon him I call, and early waking lest I should fall. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I